Our first scripture lesson today comes from Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 20. In your pew Bible, it can be found in page 119. If you're like me, the large print Bible can be found on page 154 in the New Testament. Hear these words. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murders against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found anyone who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now he was going along and approaching Damascus. Suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless because they heard the voice but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." He answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who invoke your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before the Gentiles and the kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. For several days he was with the disciples in Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our responsive psalm reading today is Psalm 30. And you can find that on page 762 to 763 in your hymnal. Notice I'm prepared. Together, please. "I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and did not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried to you for help, and you healed me. O Lord, you brought me up, you brought up my soul from Sheol. Restore me to life from among those gone down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name. Surely the Lord's anger is but for a moment. The Lord's favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you have established me as a strong mountain. You hid my face. I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cried, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will you thus praise me? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have loosened my sackcloth and gird me with gladness, that my soul may praise you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks for forever. Amen.
A reading from the New Testament comes from the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. You can find that in your pew Bible on page 233, darn near the end of the book. And if you're looking at the large print Bible, it's in the New Testament on page 301, Revelation 5, 11 through 14. And a little bit of context, this is John in the throne room of God, if you will. And so it is amazing visions that he's having. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels surrounding the throne and the living creatures and the elders. They numbered myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, singing with full voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slaughtered to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them singing, "To the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's turn now to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to John. John chapter 21, verses 1 through 19. Another long scripture passage, but we will soldier through it. That would be found on page 109 in your pew Bible, or if you have the large print edition, it's on page 141 of the New Testament. And this follows right on the heels of last week's reading. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. My sisters and brothers, Jesus Christ is risen. Indeed. Today is the third Sunday of Easter, and this is the story from John that we just read about the third time that Jesus appeared to his disciples. We will continue through the 50 days of Easter as we move on toward Pentecost, and we will continue to read in the Gospel of John, but this is the last time that we will refer directly to the events surrounding the resurrection. And I ask you this morning to consider the meaning of this story through a specific lens. I want you to focus on the concepts of commitment and commissioning. Well, clearly in this story, Jesus follows through on his commitments to his followers, and he reminds them of their commitments to the kingdom of God. Jesus then commissions these followers and each of us to do the work that he started. If this story today from John sounds familiar, it should. I want you to listen to an earlier passage from the Gospel of Luke, all the way back in chapter 5. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let your nets down for a catch." But Simon answered, "Master, we've worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. Well, as you likely well know, each of the four Gospels has a little different take on the story of Jesus calling his disciples. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke are almost verbatim in the way that Jesus makes a commitment to his followers and asks them to commit to him. Follow me, and I will make you fish for people. In today's story from John, Jesus is reminding his followers of this commitment that they have made to share the good news and make disciples of Jesus Christ. There are several important details here that update this calling. When Jesus found out that this fishing trip had been unsuccessful, he said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. This past week, I read a fascinating commentary that pointed out that most fishermen cast their nets on the left side of the boat so that when they haul in the full nets, they are using their most often dominant right hand. Think about that. You throw it to the left, and as you're reaching over the gunwale, you're pulling it in with your right hand. Well, you wouldn't think that a different side of the boat would make a bit of difference, but it does. Jesus asks his followers to do things in a different way, a way they may not be used to, a way they may not be comfortable with, the way of Jesus. And that does the trick. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Now, as you hear that, let two other passages echo in your mind. Follow me and I will make you fish for people. And also from the end of Matthew, what we call the Great Commission, Jesus said, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." Well, why is John so specific about the number of fish that the disciples caught? 153 fish. Well, several commentaries point out that 153 was the number of nations believed to exist in the world at that time. Follow me and I will make you fish for people. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Well, Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now, none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. So Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. Again, you ought to hear echoes of Jesus' commitments to his followers. Think about the Last Supper. Think about Jesus taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish and making enough food for more than 5,000 people. A commentary that I read this week pointed out that in early Syrian Christianity, Holy Communion often consisted of bread and fish rather than bread and wine. Jesus is always ready to feed those who would follow him with actual food and with spiritual food. Finally, I want you to consider this part of the story, this last part, this exchange between Jesus and Peter. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Again, you ought to hear echoes from the past. At the Last Supper, Jesus spoke directly with Peter. "Will you lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the cock crows, you will have denied me 3 times. And as you remember, later that same night, Peter did indeed deny knowing Jesus 3 times. In like manner, after breakfast on the beach, Jesus asked Peter 3 times about the commitment of his love. 3 times more, Peter reaffirmed his love and his commitment to Jesus. And 3 times, the Good Shepherd commissioned Peter. feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. Jesus was absolutely willing to forgive Peter, to meet him where he was, to reaffirm his love for Peter, and to send him out to do the work of the kingdom. My sisters and brothers, I ask you today to think about commitment and commissioning. In just a few minutes in our worship service, you will recite with me the Nicene Creed, committing once again to the particulars of your faith. After that, you will pray with me the Lord's Prayer, reaffirming your commitment to God and accepting the commissioning of God's call, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." And between those two prayers, we will celebrate the sacrament of baptism with Christopher Robin Bartow, with Chris and Rebecca and their family. And at that point, Chris and Rebecca will reaffirm their commitment to Jesus Christ and to our church. And they will promise to nurture Christopher Robin in Christ's holy church, that by their teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life. And in turn, each of you will reaffirm your commitment to Jesus Christ, and you will promise to nurture one another in the Christian faith and life, to include Christopher Robin in your care, and to surround him with a community of love and forgiveness. Each of these is an important commitment, and I pray that all of us will take these promises seriously, just as God does. Jesus understands that each of us is unique, as Peter was unique. Jesus loves you so much that he was willing to die for you in order to conquer the power of sin and death and to provide for you eternal life. Jesus has made this commitment to you, and now he's asking for your commitment and your love in return. Jesus is asking you to play your part in sharing the good news and making disciples of Christ. Follow me, and I will make you fish for people. Jesus Christ is risen. Amen.